Matthew, chapter 19, verse 27. Then Peter answered and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye shall also sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or fathers, or mothers, or wives, or children, or lands, for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit life everlasting. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. 27 through 30 of the 19th chapter of the book of Matthew. May we pray. Our Father, tonight, we're keenly conscious of our dependence upon you. We pray you'll forgive all of our sins and cleanse us from everything. And grant that we shall have your power in this hour. May every life in this church be touched tonight. We pray for a real spiritual awakening to come in this place. Grant every Father that the power of God may be so manifest that the sinners can't resist Christ. We pray that you'll bless this pastor and the leadership of this church, that might be so dominated and motivated by God that all they can see in their lives will be God. Father, we pray tonight that you'll take thy servant and loose his tongue and illuminate his mind and give us holy unction. Revive the saved and save the lost, and we'll be grateful to you for it. We come in Jesus' name. For Jesus' sake, amen. I'm sorry that I'm as hoarse as I am tonight. You just have to bear with us, and we'll do the best we can in the service. I want to think with you tonight on this 27th verse. Matthew 19:27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? Jesus has just been teaching the people. Most of them have turned and went the other way. Said, that's too hard to say and we can't follow it. He's talked to them about being whitewashed graveyard full of dead men's bones. Made the outside of the platter clean, the inside of extortion, full of extortion. Talked about their damnation slumbereth not, and they were a generation of vipers and snakes. So as a result, most of the folks said, it's too hard a doctrine, we can't stand it, we're going the other way. Too much expected, too much required. Jesus said, Will ye also go away to the ones that are still with him? Peter said, To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Where are we going? And there's no one else to turn to. And if you turn away from Jesus, where are you going? So Peter raises the question then, we've left all to follow you, and what are we going to get out of it? They left their businesses, these disciples had. Jesus said, lay aside everything, follow me, give up all and follow me. And Peter's just reminding, now look, Lord, we've given up everything. We give up our business, we give up our profession. we'd give up everything to follow you. What are we going to get out of it? That's a simple question, but I think it's a fair question. I think it's a question, if we be honest with ourselves, most all of us ask it. After all, what am I going to get out of this business of being a Christian? What am I going to get out of leaving my crowd and my fun and my pleasures of sin? What am I going to get out of this thing anyhow? Well, Jesus answers him. Notice, Jesus said to them, "Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me, and the regeneration where the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye shall also sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes. First of all, Jesus said you're going to get a regeneration experience. When you give up everything to follow me, when you leave all to follow me, you're going to get a regenerated experience. What is regeneration? It's making us a new creature. It's changing our natures. The best way I know to explain it is, some time ago over here, back years ago, and out of Spartanburg, South Carolina, Piedmont Baptist Church bought an elementary school house where the school had gone out of business, and converted it into a pastorum for their church. They didn't change the doors nor the windows or anything. They just went in and cleaned it up and painted it up. And they had a beautiful pastorum. And I was bragging on how pretty it was. They said, "Preacher, you ought to see it before we got a hold of it." It had paper wads all over the walls and the ceiling, chewing gum all over the floor. It's as filthy as a pig pen when we got it. We've cleaned it all up. Same windows, same door, same floor, same wall, same everything. But now it's a pastorum instead of a schoolhouse. Regenerated. Made a new thing out of it. I was over in out in West Memphis, Tennessee, Arkansas, just across the river from Memphis. And there was what they called the Cotton Club nightclub. One of the wickedest places in that section of the country. And it's a big nightclub. And one night a bunch of sailors come in there and got on a drunk, raped a bunch of girls and was dancing and killed them and carried them out and threw them in the yard and run the cars over. The law went in and padlocked the place. Wouldn't let them have no more partying in there. The club had to go out of business. But some Baptist preacher went and talked with the law, and they allowed him to go in there and conduct services. And got in there, same building that was the nightclub, same musical instruments, they had some expensive musical instruments, same lights, same auditorium, same rooms on the sides, same air condition, same heating. Didn't change a thing, except they just went in and started the preaching. Not went in and conducted a meeting for them. Everything in there, same thing, but now it's for preaching rather than for sinning.
Right. Yeah.
Regenerated, made new creatures. Well, that's what I'm talking about. He regenerates us and makes us new creatures. We got the same eyes and same ears and same feet and same hands, but he's changed our nature.
Amen.
Another way to look at it is this. We bought a dishwashing machine down at our camp. I told the man had to be going by Saturday because we're going to start on Monday. He promised me to have it running by noon Saturday. He delivered it. He told me, said, have an electrician come in and put in a three-phase box where I can get three-phase current because it'll have a three-phase motor on it. So I had an electrician come in, wired up for that. had a place for him to tie in. And we got it all ready to go about 10 o'clock Saturday morning. He said, "Preacher, throw the switch on. We're ready to go." I threw the switch on. That thing went to bucking and rattling and jumping and smoking. Said, "Cut it off." I said, "I done cut it off. That thing about to burn up. What's the matter with it?" He said, "I don't know." He got out and cleared the smoke out of the way. Looked at it. He said, "What kind of current did you turn on?" I said, "Three phase. That's what you told me to turn on." He said, "Well, this got a single phase motor. I thought it had a three phase." Said, "No wonder it's about to burn up and bucking and smoking. Like to burnt the thing up. It can't stand it." Well, I said, "What are we going to do now?" He said, "Well, just give me a little time. I'll get another motor." And about 2 hours, he came back. He said, "Sir, I've called Atlanta. I've called New Orleans. I've called Memphis and St. Louis. And there's not a motor that'll fit this thing anywhere." I said, "Then load the trap up and take it away. Because I'm not going to put up with it. I bought it. You promised to have it going. I'm going to have it sitting around here in our way." He said, "Now, wait a minute, preacher." He said, "You give me 6 hours and I'll have this thing running." Said, "Don't, I'll take it out." I said, "Okay, go to it." About 6 hours from then, he called me and said, "Turn her on. She's ready to go." And I threw the switch on. It set that run as smooth as a sewing machine. I said, "What'd you do to that motor?" He said, "I rewound it where it'd take three-phase current instead of single-phase." I said, "You put in new bearings?" He said, "No, bearings fortunately didn't hurt. Nothing's wrong. Just had a single-phase and it couldn't stand that three-phase current. I got to wire it up where it'll take three-phase." And it run just as fine as you please. Still running. Well, that's exactly what happened. When the Holy Spirit of God hit us, we were old sinners, one phaser. We was full of the devil. Just one spirit working on us. And when the Holy Spirit touched us, it turned the three-phase current on us, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. You bucked, you squalled, you kicked, you wept, you shook. You had all kinds of spells. But when Jesus regenerated you, it just runs so smooth and so good. Run perfectly. No bucking, no bands burning, or nothing else. So that's exactly what he meant. When you leave everything to follow me, the first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to regenerate you. I'm going to fix you to where you'll take on God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And you won't be bucking with the devil. So first of all, my friends, we get the advantage there, don't we? Got three spirits now instead of one. And three is always better than one.
Amen.
So then, he said, that's the thing that you'll get out of. And that's what you got when you left everything to follow Jesus. When you gave up everything to receive Jesus, you became regenerated. You got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And your life begins to run different and a lot smoother and a lot better without a lot of grinding and a bucking and a rattling and a smoking. So then, my friends, we stop to realize there's something else. Now he said there is no condemnation. So when we got received Jesus, when you left everything to follow Jesus, you went out from under condemnation. There is now, therefore, no more condemnation. You will never be condemned again. We're beyond condemnation.
Amen.
When we got Jesus and followed Jesus, that lifted that. Therefore, there is now no condemnation. You'll never be condemned again.
Right.
We're no longer condemned. We're free because Jesus took care of that for us.
Amen.
So I want you to realize, my friends, you've got that on top of this other. There is that. And you're just not condemned anymore. See? There is no more condemnation. And so it'll never come on us again. We've been set free from that. He tells us that in the book of Romans, I believe. And we stop to recognize that those things are true. And we realize something else.
My friends, the next thing I want you to realize is we became God's child.
Yes, Stephen.
When you left everything to follow Jesus, as many as received him,
yes,
to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And so when you left everything to follow Jesus, we got to be God's children.
Amen.
We're God's sons.
Yes.
You're God's daughters. And so as a result, when you became God's child, then you can turn around and say, Abba, Father.
Amen.
So that gave you some advantages you didn't have. When we left everything to follow Jesus, I want you to know one thing, my friends, and that is God becomes your Father.
Yes.
And God owns everything.
Yes.
By him, for him, was all things created. Without him wasn't anything created.
Yes.
And then when you become God's child, you become an heir of God,
right,
and a joint heir with Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So when you left everything to follow Jesus, then he said you become one of God's children. You're a joint heir with me. You'll inherit all, have a part of inheritance of all that God's got.
Yes, amen.
So, my friends, you haven't lost yet, have you?
No.
By leaving everything to follow Jesus. Not only that, God becomes your Father. And that gives you access to God the Father,
amen,
the God of this universe.
Amen.
To illustrate what I'm trying to say, there was a president, one of the former presidents, had a retarded son, and as he grew up, he goes so long and then he had to have some dirt. He's a dirt eater. You've heard about the children being dirt eaters. This little fellow was a dirt eater, and he desired to get barefoot and get on a patch overhauls, blue jeans we call them now, we call them overhauls then, and get him a spoon and get out of a corner house and dip up some dirt in. The president knew if his little boy was to be happy when that time came, he'd have to let him go eat dirt. He made an arrangement. When those days come, he'd have some of the servants to pull his shoes off, let him get barefooted, put on his patched overhaul, and give him a spoon, let him go. He'd get out there and eat a bunch of dirt, come back in and be satisfied. There's a young man who sought to be the security guard for the president. He trained and prepared himself, finally got upon him. And they gave him his clothes, gave him his gun, gave him his commission. Then the old guard told him, said, now son, if you want to stand guard, you have to abide by the regulations. Said, nobody goes in that door where the president is unless he's got an official pass. If it's 2 minutes before time, you don't get into time. If it's 2 minutes after time or a minute after time, you don't let him in. He wasn't there on time. And said, no man, regardless of who he is, no person, young or old, little or big, important or unimportant, nobody, kings or queens, nobody goes through that door unless they got to pass. You understand? He said, yes, sir. Said, if you let one in, your job's gone. When people begin to come, some of them didn't have the right pass. He said, well, some didn't have a pass at all. He turned them away. Some was there too quick. He made them wait. Some was there a couple of minutes late. He wouldn't let them in. But in the stir of things, they forgot to tell him about this little boy, the president, the son. And so he was guarding faithfully. One day come around corner of the house, that little boy come around barefooted, been eating dirt, and it's all under his chin where saliva run out on his chin. He had a spoon, patched overhauls on. He darted in. The guard got him and said, where are you going, boy? Said, in there. Where the president? Where you reckon? Said, you have a pass? Said, what do you mean, pass, mister? Said, you have to have a pass going where the president is. Said, I don't. Said, yes, you do. He said, I don't do it. Turn me loose. He jerked loose and started to run. The guard grabbed his stick and started to hit him. Said, I'll knock you in the head, boy. You're not going in there. You ain't got no pass. The boy says, you don't know who you're fooling with. The guard said, yeah, you don't know who you fool with either. You're not going in there. One of the old guards seen it. Renault said, I'm sorry, we forgot to tell you and introduce you to that lad. Said, that's the president's son. He don't have to have no badge. He gets in anytime he wants to, leave anytime he wants to. And we're sorry we forgot. Turn him loose. Little old boy runs, got to the door, stuck his head back out, and licked his tongue out at him. Said, goody, goody, I told you couldn't keep me out. He went in and crawled up in the lap of the president of the United States. Said, Daddy, I love you. So there it is. God, the great God of all gods of this universe, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, I have a right in there because he's my father. And there ain't nobody that can keep me from going in. I don't have to have no pass. No kind of pass of any kind. I can get in there day and night. Regardless who's around, I can still get in there. Amen. He's my father. He's your father. And my friends, that's one of the things you get out of leaving everything and following Jesus. Amen. You get a right to go in anytime, any place, anywhere you are, to the Father. You don't have to go through a preacher or a deacon or a steward or you don't have to go through Papa Pope and Rome or nobody else.
Amen.
You get right in there. You have a right. Because, my friends, before God, you are God's child.
Amen.
And you got a right in there.
Amen. Amen.
That's what you got to believe in all to follow Jesus. So as a result, we've been made new creatures, took on the new life, and that life is a life that never ends.
Amen.
So my when he leave all to follow Jesus, you have to quicken, and we never die. We're born of an imperishable seed, an incorruptible seed, which liveth and abideth forever.
Amen.
We take on the nature of Jesus. We take on his nature. You know what his nature is? It's eternal.
Yes. Amen.
Imperishable.
Yes.
Everlasting.
Yes.
When you leave everything to follow Jesus and take on his nature, you as eternal as Jesus, you as everlasting as Jesus, you as imperishable as Jesus, because you took on his nature. And so whatever God does, it's forever.
Yes.
You can't add anything to it and take nothing from it.
Yes.
And when God saved your soul, my friends, when you followed Jesus, your soul got saved. If you tried 1,000 years, you couldn't get a bit better saved. If you tried 1,000 years, you couldn't get a bit less saved.
Yes.
It is done once for all and sealed up until the day of redemption.
Yes.
If it's sealed up, nobody can tamper with it. You nor the devil, nobody else.
Yes.
So as a result, I'd have you realize then, not only that, we get something else by leaving all apologies. Peter said, look, Lord, we've left everything to follow you. What are we going to get out of it? He tells them of these things. And he tells them then, if you're faithful over the few things that I give you to do, I'll make you ruler over many things.
Yes, amen.
So my friends, if you leave everything to follow Jesus,
amen,
and you're faithful over the few things he gives you to do, then he'll make you ruler over many things.
Amen.
What is some of the things that he gave us to do? One is, my friends, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, but rather meet together. Gather the men and the women and the children and the strangers at your house. Let them hear the word of the Lord and do the things that God tell you. And my friends, these folks, it's in and out, in off and on, in and out. Off and on. He's not going to risk you in the kingdom. You'll be trotting around somewhere when he needs you on the throne.
Yes, yes, amen.
He's going to pick out the faithful ones that's left everything to follow him. Then at the same time, he said, upon the first day of the week, let everybody lay by and store according to God's profit. Bring ye all of the tithe and put it in a basket and set it on the altar and dedicate it to the Lord thy God. Now if you're a penny snitcher and a God robber And a tithe is just gave from God. Don't you ever expect God to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You get up there and say, come on in, you dirty thief.
Amen, brother.
But my friends, he said, if we leave everything to follow him and bring all the tithe, he'll open up the windows of heaven and pour us out blessings, not room enough to receive.
Amen.
And so as a result, we're going to get the windows of heaven on that open up and pour out if we follow him. All right. We find something else. My friends, not only gives us a place to rule, but it gives us a place to reign.
Yeah.
Let's look over in the book of Timothy, the second chapter and the 12th verse. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. So when you suffer everything to follow Jesus, that puts you in position to reign with him.
Yeah.
Also. And then, my friends, in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, and the 8th verse, you have these words. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. What is it? He's going to give us a crown of righteousness. First of all, you've got a place to reign. Second, you're going to get a crown of righteousness.
Yes.
Then not only that, a crown that fades not away, but remains forever. Then a crown of life. James 1 and 12. Blessed is the man that endured temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. And then we'll get also the crown of glory. We look over in the book of 1 Peter, and we find there also that he's promising us, if you please, 5th chapter, 4th verse. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Crown of glory. Then he tells us in 1 Corinthians 9:25 that we receive an incorruptible crown, one that fadeth not away. So what have we got, my friends? For following all, leaving Jesus to follow him, give up everything to follow Jesus, a place to reign,
yes.
A crown of righteousness, a crown of glory, a crown of life, the incorruptible crowns that fade not away, incorruptible crowns that cease not. And then we stop to realize he said, store up your treasures in heaven where the thieves and the moths can't steal and eat and rust can't corrode. So when you leave everything to follow Jesus, you train, you put your valuables there, and the treasures, and thieves can't steal them, moths can't eat them, rust can't corrode them.
Yes.
So Jesus is simply saying, when you leave all to follow me, you got the treasures in the right place.
Amen.
And he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all of these things, what? Something to eat, something to wear, somewhere to stay. Get your priorities right, and it'll keep you balanced. A lot of folks trying to live without the Lord because they're looking after the things of this world, eating and drinking, and somewhere to stay. Jesus said, you got the wrong priority. Put the kingdom of God first and follow me, and then I'll have to see to it you got something to eat and something to wear, somewhere to stay, because the seed of the righteous has never been caught begging bread yet, and not going to. So by following everything, leaving everything to follow Jesus, bless God, I have assurance and insurance against pauperism. So I want you to realize tonight, my friends, when you leave everything to follow Jesus, you're not the loser, you're the gainer. And then we stop to recognize some mess. Look what he said. He said, if you leave all to follow me, let me read it to you. Everyone that hath forsaken house or brethren or sisters or fathers or mothers or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive a hundredfold and shall inherit life everlasting. I want to testify for Jesus tonight that exactly what he said is so.
In order for you to get to this truth, pardon me for some personal references.
You see, I used to be an infidel and hated everything connected with God. Hundreds of preachers tried to win me and they couldn't get to me. I'd get guns and butcher knives, anything, I'd get after them. They'd run faster than they'd come. But high noon 1932, I got saved.
Amen.
And God bless me. Then not long after I was saved, he called me to preach. I didn't want to preach. Well, I didn't call it all my life. Because I was born to be that. Just like you were if you're a preacher. So as a result, but the thing came, he said, the gift and the calling is without repentance. Whether you ever repent or not, you got the call, God give it to you.
Yeah.
And you got the gift and God give it to you. And getting saved don't call you.
Right.
But what I'm saying is, I realized I had to preach. And I fought it because I was battling with something. When I surrendered to preach, I had a contract, not boasting, I'm just bragging on Jesus. I had a contract for $500,000 for 5 years with all expenses. That's $500,000 each year for 5 years in Hollywood. All it's waiting for was my signature. And the contract was fulfilled. I wrestled with it all night. God wanted me to preach, and I wanted to go to Hollywood and get rich. Then in Fort Daylight, God let me see thousands and thousands of people in hell pointing their bony finger towards me. Said, if you'd have come, I wouldn't have went to hell. If you'd have preached, I wouldn't have went to hell. And God looks at me, and I see their blood on my hand. You know, I lost all my excitement about Hollywood right quick. I pushed that thing back all the way and I said, can't sign it. Next morning, I said, I'm going to go preach. My people didn't understand. They said, if you preach, get out of this house. We don't want you anymore. And I said, I got to preach. Of course, people found it out and they sent cards and telegrams of sympathy to the family because their son had cracked up and gone to preaching after being offered such a fantastic thing in Hollywood. And that just wasn't one time. I've been offered twice since. I'm not boasting about it. But I want you to know one thing. It wasn't hard for me. I'd done one to battle with the hip of the Lord. When you have a mother to stand, look at you and say, look, if you're going to go preach to that trash, it'll listen to you. Don't tell anybody you came out of my womb. Don't ever let nobody know I blessed you. Get out. I got out. I didn't have nowhere to go. That meant all my brothers and sisters and my parents was through. I had nobody to go to. The crowd I was fixing to play with was in Hollywood. Now I was in Mississippi without a friend. All I knew to do was just get out and get gone. I was ordered out, and I got out and got gone. And the further I went, the more lonesome I got. Got up in the edge of Tennessee. Going down gravel road. Sitting out there in the woods was a little one-teacher schoolhouse. Windows had fell out, it rotted. Doors had rotted off the hinges, weeds growing up to the floor. And I passed that little schoolhouse, and I didn't see anybody living anywhere in here. I said, I gotta preach. That's a good place. Maybe nobody make fun of me. And I crawled up in that place, went to hooping and a hollering and a preaching. Little bit, I saw a bunch of folks coming and peeping around trees and peeping around the corner. And then I sure enough got at it. Soon they got up in there with me. The time I got to it is full, my yard is full. And I got through and dismissed them. Did the best I could. An old white-headed man come up and put his arm around me and said, "Boy, go home with me for dinner. I like you." I said, "Thank you." I went home with him. Started out and said, "Get up there on that stump and tell him you'll be back at 2:30 to tell him some more of this scene. They'll come hear you." And I got up and told him. We had dinner and come back over there. 2:30 and had another service, and they still more than that. And was there that day, come that afternoon. Got through, he said, "Go home with me." Sitting around a big old open fireplace that night. He said, "Son, me and the old lady talking to him about his wife, me and the old lady, called his wife old lady, wasn't disrespectful for her. He loved her like no man ever loved a wife, probably. They're very devoted to each other. Said, me and the old lady wanted a boy. All of our lives we couldn't have one. Do you reckon there's any way we could arrange for your parents to let us have you?" Tears running down his cheeks. I said, "Mr. Hannah, you don't have to arrange. They done told me to get and not come back. I gotta have somewhere to go." He said, "Thank God, you can stay here." Went across the hall, showed me a bedroom. Said, "Now I'll get you up in the morning." Got up on Monday morning. Said, "Here's the key to my car. You get in and drive somewhere. Don't you come back here till sundown. I want you to be gone till sundown. You hear me, son?" I said, "Yes." Got back at sundown. Went in, and there's a kind of an L-shaped house like this, long this way and room this way. He'd gone in that L and had a brand new room, had a big consultant come out and build a room in one day, had the furniture store to come out and put a bedroom suite in. And he carried me back there and switched the light on, said, "Son, how you like this new room?" I said, "I like it." He started crying, said, "That's your room, son." And said, "Right across, then through that door right there into the dining room, there'd be three meals a day. And you got a key to a car. And you go tell everybody about Jesus you can. Amen. You're not want for anything else, son. You're my boy."
Amen.
"I want you to know, my friends, I found a home. I left home to follow Jesus. But I found a home. Wasn't long till I found a lot of those people was my brothers and sisters. They do things for me that my own brothers wouldn't do. They do things for me my own sisters wouldn't do for me. And that wasn't long until I found godly mothers that would pray for me and want to patch my socks and wash my clothes and take care of me and cook for me. And that is. And I want to now stay tonight. You haven't known about it. Been across America for 45 years. And everywhere I go, I find a home. I find a home. Somebody that's a mother to me. Somebody that's a brother to me. Somebody that's a father to me. The devil's crowd looks down the nose and hates me. But God's got a bunch of brothers for me. A bunch of sisters for me. I don't have to worry about it. I want you to know, my friends, God's always had a home for me ever since. God's always had some men to be my brothers, see. Always had some women to be my sisters, some men to be my fathers, and some women to be my mothers ever since. Little old kids just love me to death. Wherever I go, there's some little kids stick up with me and just love me because God said he'd give them to me. And I want to tell you, God's done everything he said. He said, "If you leave off and follow me, you'll have so-and-so." I want to testify it's so. A few months ago, I was up here just out of Fountain Inn, South Carolina. One of the finest couples that I've met in time lately. They's pretty well fixed. And they said, the preacher's going to bring you out of our house to eat with us one evening. We're looking forward to it. We got in the preacher's car. We drove down the highway. Then finally got out on a private road through some of the prettiest fields. We just kept driving. All of a sudden out there in that wide open space with lakes all around, a beautiful hound jumped up. And we rode up in the car and got out and went in and had supper. And after supper, the man came and his wife said, "We won't talk to you. Come in." I said, "All right." Said, "We built this room for a little boy, and he died. But we find out what God wants with it today. Brother preacher, that's your room. Day and I, long as you live, you need somewhere that's a room. The bed, the bath, and everything right in there. And we got plenty to feed you on. And we want you to know this is your home. I want you to know I've got a lot of places tonight. I'm not bragging, except on the Lord. Places all over this country I could go and knock on the door. And they'll welcome me in. And let me spend some time there. Glad to have me." You know why? God said to do it.
Amen.
God will do what he said to do, brother. You thought you lost everything when you lost a few of the giving, cussing, criticizing, persecuting, crying. But I don't tell you same people, man. You got more friends than the devil's crying. Yeah, you lost some of them old beer cussing, skeptics, and dancers, and gamblers, but I don't care no, but you got more than you got for with you than you ever had in the crowd. And they take you in and take care of you. When that other crowd will kick you down and persecute you and curse you, they are there to love you and pray for you and to lift you out. Oh, we've left all to follow you, Lord. What are you going to give? I'm going to give you more brothers and sisters and fathers and mothers and children and houses and lots and lands than you ever had. Heal them. That's what you get for following Jesus. I'm conscious some of you sitting here lost some of the crowds you ran with. But my friends, look who you got now. You got folks that will pray for you. You got folks that will stand with you. You got folks that love you. You got folks that will help you and lift you. And instead of trying to kick you down, they'll lift you up. And you got folks that care for you. And they love you more than brothers or sisters that love you. Think about it. Jesus said we'd have it. And I want to announce tonight, he's kept his word. I've traveled across this country. There's plenty of godly women and godly men. I can go to the homes tonight. They're so glad to have me. I mean, they're glad. My folks didn't want me around after I preached. But God gave me something that wore me around. I'm just excited about preaching and going to see my spiritual mamas and daddies and brothers and sisters and seeing how many different homes I've got. That's a home to me. I want you to know tonight, friend, God hadn't shortchanged nobody.
Amen.
We left all to follow you. Then, my friends, we get something else. When we leave everything to follow him, listen to what we get. Let me read it to you. So you know I'm getting it out of the book. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God, who is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." What is it? God is able to keep you from being tempted above what you're able to stand. You see, used to when I was a drunkard, again, I could never resist the temptation. I'd sober, I'd be broke, I'd say I'd never mess with that dirty bunch again, but as soon as you come along, down I went. But my friends, since I left everything to follow Jesus, he's helped me bypass that crowd.
Yeah, amen.
He's helped me pass that crowd up, the temptation. And with every temptation I make a way of escape, hey, by following Jesus, you got a way of escape from
the
devil. You got a way of escape from the devil by following Jesus.
We've left all the fun. What are you going to get? Go be protected.
Amen.
Gentlemen, when the devil, when the devil wanted to jump on Job, you know what the devil said? You got a hedge about him.
Yeah.
You got a hedge about him. I can't get in there. I tell you, when you got saved, God put a hedge around you.
Amen.
God put a hedge around you.
Amen.
The devil can't get in there. If you won't let him in, you don't have to let him in, and he can't get it. Oh, how many times you've been tempted, but there was the hedge. There was the hedge. There was the hedge. Oh, my friends, you've got a hedge about you when you left everything to follow Jesus. Glory to God, you got a fence through the
fence.
You've got fenced in. You've got hedged in. Where you can stand the temptations and not be drugged down by the devil and the devils and demons. So I want you to realize you didn't lose for following Jesus. Then I'd say something else, my friends. He said, "Fear thou not. I'm with thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my right." He said, "Don't be afraid. I'm there. What? I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. The mother may forget to suck on your breast, but I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Fear thou not. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness.
Amen.
And I'll thirst in me out from before you. The eternal God is thy refuge.
Yes.
And underneath are his everlasting arms. And he'll throw me in there.
Yes.
Oh, when you have to have a thing to follow Jesus, you've got the eternal arms of the Son of God around you.
Amen.
And he can't tell you how to take you anywhere. He's calling you. And he said, be not dismayed. Don't get discouraged. Don't get out in the dumps. Fear thou not. My right hand will hold you. My right hand will take care of you. We've got protection, my friends. And we've got somebody to take care of us. Then he's with us all the way.
Lo,
I am with you all the way. See, I left everything to follow Jesus. So, while I'm following him, he's with me.
Amen.
We're going home,
yeah,
he's with me. And he looked around and he was here. He's been following God.
My keeper. That's what you get when you follow Jesus. You get him to go along with you. King of kings, Lord of lords, and God of God going along with you. And then, my friends, when I left everything to follow him,
you know what? The Holy Spirit took up his abode, and he lives in my house. He's with me.
Yes.
He's in.
Yes.
My house, now carcass became the temple of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God lives in you. The Spirit of God lives in me. That's his abiding place. That's where he's at. Hey, you know where I'm staying. You can't take a Bible and find where the Holy Ghost is after you.
Yes, that's right.
He's in us.
Yes.
He ain't off in heaven somewhere else. The Holy Spirit's in us. When I followed Jesus, the Holy Spirit took up his abode.
Yes.
And we've had a wonderful
time
together.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And when I need him, he's in there.
Yes.
When I need his power, he's got it.
Yes.
When I need his comfort, he's there to give it. When I need his strength, he's there to give it.
Yes.
I tell you, my friends, tonight, the Holy Spirit of God is within us. We got all of that when we left to follow Jesus. Then, my friends, we got something else. when you decided to follow Jesus. Peter said, what are we going to get out of it? We've been working around here. What are we going to get out of serving you now? Jesus said, I'll come one of these days in the glory of the Father with the holy angels. And every man shall be rewarded according to his works. You see, you don't get your paycheck until the week's over, where your work is paid. And when it's all over, they come out with a payroll and they open up the checkbook and pay you. Well, Jesus said it's going to be like this. When it's all over, I'll come in the glory of the Father, and the holy angels will come with me, and they'll have the reward, the paycheck. And they'll open up God's checkbook for all we've done.
Amen.
And the missing drop of water we give.
Yeah.
What is it? When you leave all the following Jesus, you're going to get the payroll handed to you.
Yeah.
You're going to get paid for everything you've done for God. Even cup of cold water. Anything. Going to be paid for the glory of God. So who's lost anything but following Jesus? Then not only that, my friends. When you leave all to follow Jesus, you get something else.
Know what? God gives you a guardian angel.
Amen.
The angels look after you.
They behold the face of God the Father day and night. And something starts happening to this boy. And God says to me, he's got in his head. Goes back up there and holds the face of God. Something starts happening. That brother Ronnie, God says, Ronnie says, he takes care of it.
Yeah.
Ronnie says, but it won't be took care of.
Amen.
He's back up there looking for another mission. My friends, they look after us.
Amen.
And they're going to come to take us when we leave here.
Amen.
I don't know the way to heaven. Somebody said, where's heaven? I said, I don't know. How you going to get there? I said, God go send an angel from up there. Take me. He come up there and he'll know how to get you by.
Amen.
And my friends, there's old Lazarus laying out there buried. You need other sores. But God sent an angel and he carried it to Abraham's bosom.
Yeah.
I tell you, when you get to follow everything, to leave everything to follow Jesus, you've got the attention of the angels and the minister of God's angel. I mean, they help us. They help us in the hours of danger. They help us in the hours of distress. The angels of God minister to us. God's angels. God's servants. When you got saved and followed Jesus, God gave you a guardian angel. God gave you angels to meet your needs and see that you made it. And a lot of times you didn't know how in the world you could make it. But all of a sudden, there it was. Other folks said, oh, what luck. Look, nothing is a pluck of God's angel.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Put it in your hands. That's exactly what it was.
Amen.
And have you realized tonight, my friends, that not only that, but when you leave everything to follow Jesus, you get something that money couldn't buy.
Amen.
Not enough money in the banks to buy one thing from me. You know what it is? The prayers of the old saints of God. Oh, thank God for the prayers of the saints. One night I was going out of South Carolina back Mississippi, 2:00 in the morning. Awfulest temptation hit me it's ever hit me in my life. It looked like there's no way out. Just on the verge of healing. All of a sudden something just happened. Everything cleared up. Clear as the noonday. And I thought, well, isn't that strange? A few days after that, a dear old godly saintly woman came. Said, Pastor, what's the matter with you 2:00 Thursday night? Said, I never wake up in the night, that time of the night. God woke me up and told me to get out of bed and pray for you. When I got out, he said, lay on your face and pray. He said, I got out on my face and the floor was wet with my tears. And I cried to God for you. Then all of a sudden, he nudged me and said, get up and go back to bed. It's all right. Now, you can't buy that kind of protection. No doubt, old Lucifer had a whole gang of his angels, his demons was concentrating on me, and money couldn't have kept it off of me. But the prayers that I don't sing, first of all, listen, when you leave all the Father Jesus, you've got the prayers of the saints to trust it. Yes, you have. We've left all of Father Lee. What are we going to get out of it? What are we going to get out of it? We're going to get, my friend, something else. Jesus is going to pray for us.
Amen.
And that's worth everything. You see, Satan has desired to sift us as wheat. He desired to sift Peter as wheat. Jesus didn't pray for him not to get sifted. See, it don't hurt wheat to be sifted. It's the chaff out and polishes the wheat.
That's right.
And he didn't pray for them not to get sifted. But all the time the devil sifted. He said, you know, Father, don't let Peter's faith fail. Don't let Peter's faith fail. Ah, Father, don't let Peter's faith fail. And it did.
Let it fail.
Peter came through.
Amen.
A lot of times, the devil sifted you to make it, and you just thought you'd never make it. But all of a sudden, you're through.
Yeah.
And it changed your friend. Go that old way to stay.
Yeah.
A lot of times, when this place has been in the farm, the devil just tearing you a piece and shaking it every way. He's out there from us as quick. All of a sudden, something happened.
Yep.
Well, James, friend, Father, don't let Ronnie's faith fail. Don't let Ronnie's faith fail. And he didn't. He still got faith, thank God. Left all the Father. What'd you get? Glory to God, you got the prayers of Jesus. Many other things. That's enough to let you know. You had lost. Here the gainer. One other thing. He said, don't ever let your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. Don't let it get shook up. If you believe in God and believe in me, don't ever get shook up. Don't ever get upset. Because in my Father's house is many mansions. And I'm going and preparing one for you.
Yes.
One for you.
Yes.
And he said, if it wasn't so, I'd tell you. I just build you up for a fall and a defeat. If it wasn't so, I'd tell you. And he said, when I get it ready, I'll come and tell you too. That where I am, there you may be also. My friends, when you left everything to follow Jesus, Jesus picked you out one of those places. He knew what would fit you and bless you the most. And he went to work on it. Now don't ask me what's going to be like, I don't know. He just spent 6 days to make everything you see, create the whole universe that we're in. Mountains, rivers, and everything else. 6 days! And he'd been working on your place for nearly 2,000 years.
Amen.
Throw my peanut brain to try to figure it. My friends tonight, I've got a place to live when I leave here. And old Paul saw it. And old John the Beloved saw it. And Brother Deacon Stephen saw it.
Amen.
There it is. It's out there. He's prepared. So he said, don't let your heart be troubled because you've left everything to follow me. that caused you to get a mansion in my father's estate. And I'll fix it up for you when I get it fixed like I think it'll bless you forever and ever. I'll come and carry it to it. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.